Okay, this morning we're going to begin. Now, we're just going to do this morning, and then next week you have Philip here, and then we'll pick up with this series when I come back the following week. We're going to start a new series of lessons called Your God is Too Small, If. Okay, Your God is Too Small, If. Now, I'll tell you more about that here as we go along, all right? But here's what happens. We have some, I think, strange or odd concepts sometimes of what God can and can't do. That actually we let it play out in our daily life. Okay? Though we know that the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God, we still oftentimes put God in the situation we say, oh, I'm not sure God can do that. You see? We need to understand the character and the nature of God, okay? God, okay, by definition, you know, people always go, who is God? God, by definition, is, first of all, omniscient. In other words, He has complete knowledge and understanding. He knows everything, okay? So, when you're struggling with trying to hide your sin from God, okay, forget it. Because He already knows, all right? He already knows what you're doing. So just fess up, all right? So because God knows everything that is going on in this universe and specifically in our lives. God is also omnipresent. In other words, He's everywhere all at the same time. God is full of the universe, okay? He fills it. And He is omnipotent, meaning He is all-powerful. Okay, there is nothing in this universe, nothing in existence that is more powerful than God. Okay, so that means that nothing that's going on in your life or my life cannot be overcome by this all-powerful God that we have. Amen? Amen. We need to know and understand God that way. You see? One thing that the Bible does say that God can't do, though, is lie. Okay? So when people talk about what God can do, what He can't do, this is one of the things He can't do. He can't lie. That goes against His character and His nature as God. In Numbers, we read this: God is not a man that He should lie. Okay? Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? In other words, God keeps His word. He's not like us in that way. Okay? He cannot lie. It's not within His being or ability to do so. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote this: a faith, he's talking about this faith, and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. God does not lie at all. And the writer of Hebrews says it this way, talking about the promises that God has made, that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. God cannot lie. So that's what He can't do. But what can He do? And someone says anything He wants, because He's God, okay? Anything He wants. We were talking in our study this past Wednesday night, our men's study, talking about God's sovereignty. Okay? And that means that God is able to do whatever God wants to do for His purposes. Okay? But the problem is that so often what we do is we limit God in what He can do, even though we know that the Bible says this: nothing is impossible with God. We put limits on God. In other words, what we do oftentimes is we try to take God and force him into a theological or a religious box, so to speak. And that kind of represents our concept, okay, of who God is and what he can do, or our view of God. And unfortunately, oftentimes, what our view of God is and what the reality is are very far apart. And I'm talking about on a regular, daily basis in our lives. In other words, theologically, if I were to ask the question, how many of you think that God, if there's anything God can't do except lie, you would all raise your hand and go, yeah, God can do anything he wants, right? But in a very practical way, on a daily basis in our lives, we continue to throw things out there to say, but God can't do this. God can't do that. In other words, for example, God can't fix my marriage problems. Or God can't heal my grief. It hurts too much. Or God can't forgive me of this sin because it's just too terrible. And on and on and on the list can go as to the things that we have decided in our own heart and mind that God just simply can't do. And oftentimes, as we talked about in a study a couple of weeks ago, we say, well, God can do it for everybody else, but he can't do it for me. Okay. And if that's what's going on in your life, then your God is too small. And that's what this study is all about, is looking at some of the things that we throw out there, and though we would never really say it out loud, in practice, that's exactly what we're saying. God is too small to be able to handle and fix my marriage problems, or God is too small to be able to really forgive me for what I have done, or God is too small to fix this problem between me and my neighbor or my coworker or whatever the situation or the circumstance is. We say, God can't really handle that. And we don't necessarily say it in the words, but we say it by our actions, how we respond, and what we do in those circumstances and situations. Mostly we just give up. And what we're saying is our God is too small to handle that. So this morning, as we begin this series of lessons, we want to tackle one of those issues that we oftentimes struggle with, and that's this. Your God is too small if he can't change you. Okay? If you are convinced, in other words, that God can't change you, then your God is too small. Okay? Because nothing is impossible with God. You've heard the phrase and the idea, the sentiment that says you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? And so the best thing to do then is to learn all the tricks while you're young, right? Because once you're old, forget it. You're set in your ways and that's the way things are going to be from now on, because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's what brings us to the story of Nicodemus. Y'all familiar with the children's program Nick at Night? We've talked about this before. That's how I try to help people to remember the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, so he's Nick at Night. He came to Jesus at nighttime, and he said to Jesus, Rabbi, whoa, what happened to us here? He said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do the things that you are doing unless God sent him. Now, there's a whole lot of ways and directions that Jesus could have gone in that conversation to address what Nicodemus just said to him. But what Jesus does is basically cut right to the chase, as the saying goes. He went right to the main topic and the main issue here. Okay? And he says to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you and I might look at that and say, well, but that's not what Nicodemus asked him, is it? It's not. But that's what Nicodemus needed to hear. In other words, you got to change your life. See? Not just change your life, but you've got to start all over again. Right? And Nicodemus responds to this statement from Jesus by this, like, seemingly confusion by saying, well, but how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Well, we need to understand something here. Nicodemus, I don't think, is really confused about what Jesus is telling him, not as much as what we might think. Nicodemus was very aware, like most of the Jews were, of what the idea or the concept of being born again was, of starting over, and even of baptism. They used baptism as a cleansing and so forth. So these were not concepts that Nicodemus wasn't aware of. Instead, Nicodemus was hearing Jesus tell him he had to change his life. He had to go back and start all over again. And like you and I, we oftentimes have bad habits. And we have sin problems in our lives. And we have, you know, just stuff that's going on as we're trying to grow in Christ and to become more like Him. There's the pains and the struggles that require us to change, and we come to the conclusion too often that says, I can't change. And I'm convinced through my studies that that's really kind of what Nicodemus was saying to Jesus. I'm too old to change. He's kind of going back and saying, hey, look, everybody knows you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And Jesus responds to him by saying, unless you do, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But see, we kind of get stuck in this, I can't change. And not only that, but then we throw this one in there. That's just the way I am. You don't have to raise your hand, but maybe just think about it. How many times have you ever said that to someone? Maybe when they've confronted you with a bad habit or maybe a sin problem or whatever, and your response is, that's just the way I am. Well, the last time that I saw, Jesus is the only I am being that I've read about in the Bible. Okay? So that is, in fact, His name. Okay? He made every single one of us as becomers, not as I amers. Okay? So He has the right, because it's His name, to say, I am who I am. You and I don't have that right. So in other words, for us to sit back and to go, I know I've got this problem, but that's the way I am. Or I know I've got this struggle, but I can't change. That's a lie. That's a lie that Satan is telling you and that you are listening to and believing. It's a lie that's convincing you that God is too small to help you overcome whatever the problem, the obstacle is going on in your life. That's just the way I am is not an acceptable answer. See? Because the great I am can overcome anything that you're struggling with in your life. Okay? So, if you are convinced that you can't change something in your life, then your God is too small. God is too small. Let's talk about this aspect of it for a moment and understand, you know, we need to know that God can change us. He can help us to overcome whatever problem, whatever sin struggles we might be having, whatever issues are going on in our life. He can do that. He's already proven that and shown that He can do that. In our study a few weeks ago, we were looking at this very passage that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about the wicked, okay? And he says those who are wicked or the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Y'all remember us looking at this passage? Okay? And he goes through and he lists, okay? What does God consider to be wickedness, all right? And he talks about the sexually immoral, or the proper translation of that is fornicators, okay? He says the sexually immoral, or idolaters, or adulterers, or male prostitutes, or homosexual offenders, or thieves, or the greedy, or drunkards, or slanderers, or swindlers. He says none of those will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says this, and such were some of you. You remember us studying this? Okay? We talked about the fact that were is what? It is past tense. Now keep in mind, Paul is writing to the church there in Corinth, and he's addressing Christians there. And all of those things he just listed, he says, some of you were that. That's how you were living your life. But again, notice, he says you were that. Okay? And then he goes on to say how they've overcome that. In other words, that from all of those things that we look at and go, oh, that's awful, they changed. How were they changed? He says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's how big our God is. He can take any of those sins and make them were in our lives. Okay? He can change you. Look, he's still working on me, okay? He's still working on me. But I'm constantly trying to let him do that work that needs to be done, okay? I know he's got a lot of work to do, okay? We got to let him do that and not try to put him in a box and say he's too small. Ever heard these phrases? I used to be. You know, as we get older, we typically use those kind of phrases. I used to could do all kinds of things that I can't do anymore, right? Okay? Yeah, we used to could. Reality is we used to could sin in some really terrible ways. But God, who is all powerful, takes our used to could and transforms it into who we are now and who we are becoming. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, unless you change. And he even says, and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So not changing, in other words, is not an option. We have got to not just acknowledge, but we've got to be willing to give ourselves to Him and allow Him to transform our lives, to change them, to conform more and more to the image of His Son. Realizing and knowing we can't do that on our own. It's not something any of us has the ability to do on our own. God, through His power, through His Spirit, can take the worst of sinners, as Paul says of himself. Take that person and make them into a servant for him. Okay? And that's where we come to the but now part. Okay? I used to be this. I were this. But now. Okay? Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In other words, there's another one of those used to could, okay? Used to be. You used to be in the darkness. That's where you were walking, and as we've talked about that phrase so often, when he's talking about walking, he's talking about our daily life. That's where you were living, in other words. He says, in the darkness. But now you are children of light. Okay? We need to live as children who are in the light. And not just for ourselves, not just kind of, okay, I'm here and, you know, I'm comfortable with that. But look what he says. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Stay as far away from that darkness as you can. And how do we best expose the fruitless deeds of darkness? Well, I think by first and foremost being the light of the world. To let our light shine so that those in the darkness can see their way to Jesus. See? Gotta let that light shine. So there's a difference between what we were and what we are now. But that difference only comes when we rely on the power of Almighty God to transform our lives from where we are, taking us to where He wants us to be. Okay? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, how does that happen? How does that transformation take place? Well, Paul says it this way. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That's, don't live like the world's living. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you change your behavior. There's that word again, change, right? You change your behavior by changing the way you think. And the first thing we need to change is our thinking about God's ability to change our lives. See? And thus God can transform us or take us, as I said a moment ago, from where we are to where He wants us to be. To the church in Corinth, Paul says this. We need to understand this particular part of it. He says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory," look at this, "are being transformed," okay, "into His likeness." That's something that is present tense. In other words, that's happening, that's something that's going on right now. We are being transformed. Okay? And then look at what he says in the next part of this is, "with how much? Ever increasing glory." In other words, there's never going to come a time in your life or mine where we're going to have enough of God's glory in our life. That we're going to be changed enough where we can sit back and say, okay, I've got it all together. I don't have to change anymore. If you ever get to that point and that's your thinking, you're in trouble. Okay? Because this is an our thing, this is an ongoing, it's a present tense, and it's ever increasing. So it's always happening more and more in our life. And that will continue to go on until the day you die, or until the Lord comes back again to take all of us with Him. It's ever increasing glory. So, if you don't think that God can change you, It isn't God that's too small. It's your faith. Okay? And so really what we're focusing on through this study is helping our faith to grow and increase. In all these kind of areas of our life where we typically struggle with faith and that God can really help with this problem or this situation or that situation in our life. Just like the occasion when Jesus came out to his disciples who were in the storm, in the boat, out on the water, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Peter saw him and said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water to you." I don't know about you, but that right there is a huge faith statement, okay? I mean, you know, get out of the boat and walk on the water. I wonder how Peter really felt at the exact moment when Jesus said, "Come on." Okay? Come on. But he did. He stepped out of the boat and began walking on the water. But what was the problem? It says that he immediately noticed the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. He became afraid, it says. And he hollered out and said, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached out his hand, pulled him up, took him into the boat. He said this to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" What we're going to be doing through this study, the remainder of it all, is focusing on those things where we doubt, where our faith is being challenged, where we might have little faith that God really can do this or that or whatever the circumstance is, so that our faith can really indeed increase. We allow God to more and more take control of our life completely so that He can use us for His purposes. And that's what this study is all about. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. So, the question that I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song is there something going on in your life that needs to change? Are there changes that you know about and maybe you've been resisting? Maybe that you have even said, at least in your heart and mind, that I can't change this. I can't change. I can't overcome this. Or maybe you said, that's just the way I am. I hope that this morning what you've heard is that that's not true. That God can change you if you will allow Him to. So part of that process may very well be on God's part that you need some prayers or some guidance or some teaching or something else that this family can help you with. But we can't help you with it if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and say, "Hey, I need some prayers, I need guidance, I need help," or what have you. There may be somebody here this morning who's still separated from God by your sin because you've not given your life to Him. God can change that this morning also. If you're ready to make the commitment to give your life to Christ, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We've got water that's ready right behind me. You don't have to wait for anything. You can become a child of God right now, this morning. There's something else that this church family can help you with, whatever it might be. You have the opportunity to let us know that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And, of course, I'll be right up front to receive anyone like to come up here. So the Lord's invitation is open. Ray has a song that he's chosen. Let's stand together and sing.